the very end, I would ask Laurie Deemer, who has been a great support for the American Friends of Balochistan. She is a member of the presiding council of the American Friends of Balochistan. She was she spoke at the United Nations Human Rights Commission side meeting in Geneva in March this year. And we are very proud to have Laurie with us in our struggle. I will ask Laurie to please come and read.
Good afternoon, everyone. A cursory literary analysis of the work of poet Mansour Baloch highlights his portrayal of a fisherman, who through his constant crying is mistakenly thought to be mad with the factors he weeps for a cause. He weeps because he thinks of Balochistan. He imagines that everything is weeping, including the deep impassable sea which is filled with his tears of blood. The poet's graphic characterization of his grieving homeland is all too appropriate for the occasion we mark today. For today we join him in mourning Balochistan's losses resulting from the leadership of Pakistan's nuclear test initiative at Shaggy Hill 12 years ago. We mourn the fundamental loss of Baloch liberty which undergirded the decision to test, and the loss of entitlement to basic human rights already in short supply in the underdeveloped province. We mourn the decrease in quality of human life, which is the inevitable outcome of jeopardizing the quantity and quality of a region's water supply, and as experienced by compromising global agriculture, an increase in cancerous skin conditions, and the loss of scenic beauty. As one resident reminisced, people used to go to Arakpo Mountain for a picnic day. It was a beautiful place where wildlife was a spectacle in itself. They sent away the people living in the area and restricted the access to everyone else. And so we also mourn the departure of that wildlife, yet another sign of ecological devastation. I must tell you that as an American, and therefore a citizen of the First Nation, to both test and conduct an attack using nuclear weapons in 1945, I feel like somewhat of a hypocrite. I am native to a country which has perpetrated nuclear testing-related injustices on its own, and therefore I approach this subject with humility. And as a citizen of the nation which provided nuclear reactors, and according to some sources, has continued to provide material assistance to aid Islamabad in guarding its nuclear material, warheads, and laboratories, I tread lightly. However, as one writer asserted on this awful anniversary, it is important that we relate the past of the present to the past. And to his assertion, I would also add, we ought to use today's forum to reflect on what motivated our respective countries to conduct nuclear tests, and to somberly prepare for future policy-making in an independent Balochistan. It has been suggested that the United States was motivated to begin developing nuclear weapons during World War II by a fear that we were engaged in a race with Nazi Germany to produce such a weapon. The 1945 atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki generated ethical debate among U.S. citizens, as some of us wanted to believe that the bombings hastened the end of the war with Japan, though it seemed difficult to fathom that the ends justified the means. In the 50s, we felt threatened by the Soviet Union and hoped that nuclear weapons would diminish that threat. In the 60s and 70s, the inherent dangers of nuclear testing and facility maintenance finally compelled us to protest publicly. And although this trend continued into the 80s, it has been concluded that the majority of Americans believed weapons were required for U.S. national security. Quite honestly, the 9/11 attacks simultaneously intensified our collective need for secure borders, and serve as a deeply unpleasant reminder that, in fact, no nation is completely secure, regardless of the size and sophistication of its weaponry. I can speak to Pakistan's rationale for testing with even less authority. However, some blame Prime Minister Bhutto's hubris, accusing him of relying on the bomb to save him from the consequences of its failure to govern. Others claim the decision to test on May 28th was a direct response to palpable Israeli and Indian threats against the physical nuclear infrastructure at Kahuta. Some believe it was defense against India or a quest for international respect. Others label it an offensive move against India. And still others suggest that the motive was to build national pride and unite people groups in conflict. Most commentators seem to feel that Islamabad not only failed miserably in its stated mission to unite the citizens of Pakistan, but that its leaders' decision to test nuclear weapons ultimately thwarted this mission and drove the culture itself deeper into self-destruction and fanaticism. In the end, neither the United States nor Islamabad has managed to assuage its own fears about national security. The issue of nuclear testing generates division rather than unity among its respective citizens. Both governments continue to pay retribution of one kind or another to their victims, and their victims, whether they live in the vicinity of American test sites or dwell in the chalky hills of occupied Balochistan, continue to suffer the negative effects of detonation on their health and homelands. Now, coincidentally, today's memorial also marks the conclusion of a month-long United Nations conference wherein the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty is being revisited. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon began the conference on May 3rd by pushing to set a deadline for activating the treaty, thereby stepping up pressure in a campaign to win over the nuclear powers which have not yet signed or ratified. Two of the holdouts include the United States, a signatory since 1996, still awaiting ratification by the U.S. Senate, and Pakistan, which has signed either the Non-Proliferation Treaty or the UN's Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty. I hereby respectfully call on President Obama to resubmit the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty passed to Congress. I humbly urge my United States senators to unanimously ratify the treaty so that our delegates to the United Nations are in a better position to advocate for a safer world. And as a small but significant gesture of making amends to the Native Americans and other U.S. citizens damaged by the testing. And I respectfully ask my leaders to maintain the current moratorium on nuclear testing. As an American friend of the Baloch, I humbly call on Islamabad to sign the Non-Proliferation and Comprehensive Test Ban Treaties. And in keeping with the American Friends of Balochistan mission statement, I also respectfully urge Islamabad to halt preparations for nuclear testing in the Dadaan region. To the Baloch people, both those of the diaspora and those on the ground, I say now is the time, though you are in the very midst of your struggle for independence, to determine the ethics by which you will demonstrate your power as a nation, particularly as it impacts upon the safeguarding of its citizens. May you also be inspired by the poet whose work I referenced at the beginning of the presentation, where he goes on to say that though he grieved for Balochistan, such that its seas were filled with tears of blood, he has not given up hope. And although he had lost his way, he saw in the dark the legs of the martyrs, and imagine that the darkness would eventually be replaced by a gleaming light. Thank you.